keeping you in touch with Michigan and the world.
Anytime, any day, you can hear the people say that love is blind. Well, I don't know, but I say love is kind.
Welcome back to it, 33 after the hour on this Wednesday. We have talked at length about the decisions handed down by the Supreme Court earlier this week. Anybody that was wondering about Neil Gorsuch and how he would rule and whether he would be conservative enough, I think most of those concerns have been put to rest for anybody that voted for Donald Trump. A lot of people voted for Donald Trump, make no mistake, that were on the fence. They didn't like Donald Trump for a variety of reasons. He was too reckless. He was too mouthy. He was too arrogant, and so on and so forth, right? But they voted for him because they knew that that Supreme Court vacancy would be filled by Donald Trump, and he had given a list of 21 people, and he picked Neil Gorsuch. Neil Gorsuch has left no doubt as where he's going to come down on the political spectrum based on his comments both in decisions and in dissents this week. And we talked about the decisions that have been handed out. What we haven't talked much about are the cases that the court says it's going to take up going forward. Now, there was disappointment they didn't take up Second Amendment cases, but they did take up another case involving religious liberty and a Christian baker that refused to be involved with baking a cake for a gay wedding. Tiffany Bates here. She serves as a legal policy analyst in the Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundation. Tiffany, welcome to the conversation.
Thanks for having me.
Now, this Christian baker, if I'm not mistaken, fears a loss of everything, which we've seen happen. I think the other baker story that was a very similar story that we followed here happened in Oregon. Those people were bankrupted, put out of business, fined $150,000 by the state of Oregon because they didn't want to participate in making a cake for a gay wedding. This is an important case. Obviously, you agree.
Yeah, this is a critical case going forward for religious liberty. You know, back in the gay marriage cases, you know, there were questions saying, you know, if the court takes this step and mandates this policy across the country, what about religious liberty and conscientious objectors who don't want to participate in those services? And, you know, the court, Justice Kennedy, made clear, oh, you know, that's a different question. But, you know, that's before the court now. You know, the slippery slope has happened. We're here. And it's a really important case. And it comes down to whether the government can force people to participate in actions that violate their beliefs. And so this case is a very big deal.
You know, and I wonder about how this plays out, because I think that, you know, it's one thing. We had a case here recently where a farmer and his family have been banned from attending a farmer's market in East Lansing, Michigan, because in a different county, 40 miles away where he and his wife live, they have a property that they rent out for weddings, and a couple called and said, would you accommodate a gay wedding? He goes, I'm not the guy for that, but there's another farm that's great that's just down the street, very similar. And then the city of East Lansing barred this man from coming to the farmer's market, which he had attended for more than a decade. I mean, these social policies have gotten to the point where municipalities think they can dictate to the rest of the world how we conduct ourselves and what we're allowed to do. And they will tell us that you must do this, because if you don't, we will have punitive damages to pass out to you. That's why it's critically important to me.
Yeah, and you know, I think it really shows their hand, that this is really about making conservatives in particular affirm lifestyles and actions that they don't want to. Because if you look at all these cases, it's an exceedingly small number of people who can't, in good conscience, use their talents to help celebrate a same-sex wedding. There are only a handful of people that have done this. You know, with the cake baker, I'm sure they could have walked down the street and hit 10 more bakeries who were more than willing to make their cake. And I assume, a lot of these cases, the people ultimately would have gotten their cake for free. We've seen this because people want good press. You know, they tell your friends, I don't want to work, or I don't take your business there, take it this other place. You know, so the really small number of people that this affects is really telling for how some people just want, will use the force of government to make every last person affirm things that they don't want to.
So, I mean, these are important cases, but I do wonder, as did Justices Thomas and Gorsuch, why the court's reluctance to get involved with Second Amendment cases. The case out of California was very important, out of San Diego. The court takes a pass on it, which means people in San Diego, California, very restricted in the ability to get concealed carry permits, which 40 states now allow, and some states making it ever easier, but certain states like California, New York, and Illinois continue to hinder their citizens. Why do you think that the court is so reluctant to take Second Amendment cases? Is John Roberts just not up to the task?
You know, that might be it. There's a variety of reasons the court decides not to take a case. They have to have 4 votes to grant cert. And, you know, if someone isn't up for it, they can pretty easily kick a case. And, you know, there's a lot of Second Amendment cases that come up. So maybe, you know, the Chief Justice is thinking, well, you know, we can take the next one. I'm not super familiar with the facts of the Peruta case and whether that maybe they thought it was a bad vehicle. You know, there were some bad facts or something. I'm not sure about that. But, you know, like Justice Thomas and Gorsuch pointed out, you know, I don't understand why we need to keep pushing this along. Let's just decide it right now.
So let me ask you this going forward. Justice Kennedy did not announce that he was stepping down on Monday. Not that he's required to tell the president at any time, but he didn't do it, which leads most of us to believe he's going to go for at least another term. But Sandra Day O'Connor did wait a couple of days in 2005 before announcing that she was ready to step down during George W. Bush's second term. What do you make of Justice Kennedy? Do you see any changes coming to the court?
Yeah, you know, I think it seems like he wants to retire, but maybe some of the politics has steered him off this year. But you never know. The justices, he could announce, you know, in the next week, in the next month. He could announce anytime he wants. I kind of think he's going to stick around for another year and maybe announce next year. But that's just speculation.
Well, maybe he likes the power. I mean, make no mistake, Tiffany, he is currently, and he knows it, he's the most powerful man on the Supreme Court because basically he can take a case in one direction or another because we know we have 4 liberal justices, 4 conservative justices. And though he's usually more often than not a little bit to the right, he surprised many people and come out a little bit to the left on some important decisions along the way. So maybe he just likes the position he's in and that everybody has to, you know, try to get him on board with whatever they're thinking.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. He is certainly the swing vote in a great number of cases. And I think he thinks his role in this is very important going forward, and he, you know, wants to leave a good, important legacy. So I think he thinks there's important issues coming down that maybe he's just not ready to give up quite yet. But I do think he's indicated that he is eventually looking to retire. I'm sure being a Supreme Court justice is very taxing in some ways.
Well, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I understand, was asking for 2 more State of the Union addresses each year so she could catch up on her sleep. I don't know if there's truth to that or not. Tiffany Bates, I appreciate you stopping in. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.